Once again, good evening to everyone.
我们再一次的和大家说一声晚安。
Thank and praise God that tonight we can gather online for our evening service.
我们感谢神，我们可以一起再一次聚集在线上来敬拜神。
This evening, I'd like to share with everyone the topic, What is good for man in life?
我们今天和大家分享主题是在人生中对什么对人是有益的呢？
In the New York area, we have been reading the book of Ecclesiastes.
我们在纽约地区，我们正在阅读传道书。
This is categorized amongst the books of wisdom.
这是其中一本被列在智慧书的一卷。
So thank God, a couple of days ago, Preacher Huang also spoke a lot about wisdom.
那么感谢神，在几天前黄传道也和我们分享很多其中的智慧。
He talked about what is wisdom.
他说到什么是智慧。
Right, Solomon defined it as the ability to explain or interpret something.
那么所罗门的定义，智慧就是能够解释还有解义许多的事情。
Right, and also to know the proper time and judgment.
而且知道什么是合适的时间，还有判定的时间。
Another point he talked about was, what are the benefits of wisdom?
另外一个重点是，到底得智慧有什么样的好处？
And we read in Ecclesiastes how wisdom gives us light. It enables us to see clearly.
那么我们在传道书里面看到，就是智慧如何来带我们看见光明，能够看清楚事情。
So that we know which way we should go.
而且因为看得清楚，所以我们知道我们该往哪里走。
So tonight, actually, we want to expand on that.
那我们今天要把这个方向再一次的扩大。
We want to focus on a passage starting with Ecclesiastes chapter 6, verse 12.
我们要从传道书的第六章第十二节再来开始。
This begins a section that really helps us to know how to walk, where we should be going.
那么这个从这个十二节开始以后的整个段落就是描述我们要该怎么样行走。
Let's read Ecclesiastes chapter 6, verse 12.
我们请看传道书第六章第十二节。
Ecclesiastes chapter 6, verse 12.
传道书第六章第十二节。
For who knows what is good for man in life all the days of his vain life, which he passes like a shadow? Who can tell a man what will happen after him under the sun?
传道书第六章第十二节，人一生虚度的日子就如影儿经过，谁知道什么与他有益呢？谁能告诉他身后在日光之下有什么事呢？
This verse has two rhetorical questions.
那么这个经节说了一个非常经典的问题。
Right. The first question is, who knows what is good for man in life?
第一个问题是，谁知道什么事情是对人有益处的呢？
The second question is, who can tell a man what will happen after him?
那么第二个问题是，在他死后又有什么样的事情呢？
Of course, the answer to both of these questions is God.
当然我们很清楚知道这两个问题最终的答案就是神。
Right, God knows what is good for man. He also knows what will happen after we pass.
神知道什么是对我们有益处的，神也知道在我们身后会有什么。
Now, this first question, what is good for man in life? This verse actually kind of serves as an introduction into the next verses.
那么就是第一个问题提到说对人有什么益处，算是对下个经节的一个引言。
Right, so when we go into chapter 7,
如果我们进到第七章,
we're going to see a lot of statements that uses the term better.
那我们可以从第七章的一开始就可以看到，就经节里面提到各式各样的比较，然后用到强如这个字眼。
Whenever we use the word better, it means that there is a value judgment that was made.
当我们看到强如这样子的用字出现的时候，我们就可以知道起码是有两个价值正在比较当中。
For example, if you are trying to rent an apartment or buy a house,
比如说你想要租一个房子或买一栋屋子
you will start to compare different options.
你就会开始比较这些就是房产的差别。
And you might tell your spouse, oh, I think this one is better. This one is closer to transportation. This one has a better school.
那么你就和你的配偶讨论说这个房子有什么样的好处，可能是就近工作或者是方便孩子上学。
Right. So sometimes these value judgments are subjective.
那么这些价值的判断都是相当主观的。有一些时候是相当主观的。
But when certain values are from God, right, then they are absolute, right?
但是一旦和神产生了关联以后，从神而来的都是绝对的。
Right. So what we read in the Bible, what we read in Ecclesiastes are certain values from God through Solomon.
所以我们从传道书里面可以看到，透过所罗门，我们可以看到一些从神来的价值。
And so when we're reading some of these comparisons and values, we should definitely learn to embrace them.
所以当我们看到这一些从神来价值上的比较的时候，我们要试着去拥有它。
Right. Even when at first, maybe it doesn't make much sense.
即使在一开始在你的心中觉得这个好像就是跟你的一般的想法是不太一致的。
Right. So tonight we're going to look into the first several verses of chapter 7.
所以我们一开始要先来看第七章的几个经节。
And look into what God says is better for us, what God says is good for us.
来看到底神在这些经节里面告诉我哪些对我们才是比较好的。
Right. So some of them maybe at first seem counterintuitive.
有些东西你看起来好像跟你的直觉是完全相反的。
Right. But eventually we should learn to really accept them and live by them.
但是渐渐的你会觉得就会开始去了解接受，而且用这样的标准来活。
Okay. So let's read now chapter 7 verse 1.
所以我们一起来看第七章第一节。
Ecclesiastes chapter 7 verse 1.
传道书第七章第一节。
Let's just read the first half.
我们先读前半句。
Verse 1, a good name is better than precious ointment.
第一节，名誉强如美好的膏油。
Okay. This is the firstbetter statement, the first value judgment we see in this section.
所以这是第一个就是所谓的价值判断的第一个比较。
Now, we see that a good name is being compared to precious ointment.
我们看到好名声被拿来跟美好的膏油做比较。
Maybe at first, we don't really realize how come these two are being compared.
可能一开始我们没有办法明白为什么这两样东西可以拿起来一起做比较。
But just for your information, name and also ointment in Hebrew, they sound very similar.
但是呢，就是给大家做一个参考，就是在希伯来原文里头，那个名字还有膏油这两个字在希伯来发音是非常相近的。
Now, for a typical person,when they see precious ointment, I think they immediately understand its great value.
但是对一般的人来讲，当他看到一个好的膏油的时候，他知道它价值是多少。
Because that's very rare, and it's very expensive.
因为它是非常稀有，而且非常昂贵的。
We can think about the story of Mary, and how she anointed.The feet of Jesus with very precious spikenard.
我们可以想象，就是在新约圣经里面，玛利亚怎么样用一个非常珍贵的真拿达香膏来膏耶稣的脚。
Right, and the Bible describes how that was actually worth a whole year of wages.
然后圣经上面描述这个真拿达香膏价值，大概是那个时候一个人一年的工资。
Right.Here in the United States, the median income is about 35,000 a year.
那么在美国，我们一般人工作的薪资的中位数是35,000块美金。
Right, so, marriage, this was something sometimes reserved for a wedding gift, right? She had that precious spikenard worth, in like U.S. terms today, about $35,000.
所以我们可以想象，在当时，玛利亚拿了一罐，大概只有在婚礼才会用上，然后价值现在的美金35,000块的香膏来做这样的事情。
And when Judas saw that she used this, he also saw how it was so valuable. He said, "We could have sold this and gave some to the poor."
所以当时的加利人犹大，当他看到玛利亚手上那一罐的时候，他也很清楚知道那个价值有多少。他甚至说，把它变卖了，可以换很多的钱。
So truly, people can see the value of precious ointment. Right?
所以人很清楚可以看到一个有价值的膏油。
Because they can smell its fragrance, they can immediately know it is so valuable.
他们可以马上闻到那个香气，马上意识到它特殊的价值。
Right, it appeals to your physical senses.
它让你就是在肉体的感官上面有非常强烈的吸引。
On the other hand, though, what is a good name?
但是从另外一方向来看，什么是好名声呢？
At first, it's really hard to understand the value of a good name.
从一开始，你可能会觉得说很难判断所谓好名声的价值。
Right, like if you made an immediate decision, if you want a good name or precious ointment, you probably want to choose the precious ointment right away.
如果说让你当下马上做决定，好名声更好膏油，你可能很快就选择那个看得见的好膏油。
Because a good name is hard to really quantify and to measure its value.
因为名声这个东西是很难去做计量，还有去测量的。
And plus, there's no like instant gratification.
而且名声这东西似乎没有办法给你及时的好处。
Right, but here, God is telling us through Solomon that a good name is better. This is what is good for man.
但是神借着所罗门来告诉我们，名声是一个比较好的东西。
Right, let's put a bookmark here and let's turn to Proverbs 22.
我们书签放在这边，请看箴言的第二十二章。
Proverbs chapter 22.
箴言二十二章。
Let's read verse 1.
请读第一节。
Proverbs chapter 22, verse 1.
箴言二十二章第一节。
A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, loving favor rather than silver and gold.
箴言二十二章第一节，美名胜过大财，恩宠强如金银。
This is another verse with the same message.
我们可以看到在不同的经节里面传递了相同的讯息。
You should rather choose a good name, a good reputation, rather than silver, gold, and riches.
那么我们应该选择美名还有好的名声，胜过那些大财还有金银。
And even though like there's no instant gratification,
即使你没有办法从当中得到及时的好处。
But when we think about this wisdom from God, eventually I think we all understand it.
但是我们如果从神那边领受神的智慧，我们渐渐就能够明白。
A good name, a precious, a good reputation truly is priceless.
我们也发现一个好名声它是无价的。
Right. Just think about a few years ago, there was this so-called Me Too movement, right?
我们可以想想看，我们在几年前有一个反性骚扰的运动。
Right, and so many celebrities and public figures, they were, their reputations were completely destroyed because they engaged in this type of sexual harassment.
因为我们可以知道说，在当时有很多的我们知道的名人，他们的名誉在那个时候因为性骚扰的关系受到很严重的打击。
Or even sexual assault, right?
甚至是性侵害。
Right, and so whenever you think of some of those names, like,you don't even really want to know what, you know, what they have to say anymore because they did these things.
当你听到这些人的名字，你甚至不想再往下听或往下想下去，因为他们就跟那些事情关联在一起。
So they actually may still be very rich, right?
他们也许还是相当的富有。
Right? They may have many bottles of this precious ointment, right?
他们家里可能还有好几罐这样子有价值，像香膏一样的东西。
But if you were to ask them, they probably would rather have a good name, right? To be respected. Yeah.
如果你有机会问他们，他们可能宁可抛弃这一切，能拥有原来他有的好名声，还有被尊重的状态。
Some of them actually, reputation so tarnished, they can't even get any jobs anymore, right?
有些人他们的名誉是被破坏的如此彻底，他们甚至没有办法再找到工作。
That they can't even make income to buy precious ointment, right?
他们甚至不再有收入可以去购买这些昂贵 的香料香膏。
Now, obviously for us, I don't think, we have done anything so serious.
我相信在座各位没有人有做过这么严重的事情。
Right, but there are certain actions that may also tarnish our reputation.
但是我们所做的、所选择的一些行动可能也会同样带给我们名声上的伤害。
And so it is very important for us to also reflect on our character.
所以说对我们来讲，我们要能够不断地反省自己 的行为。
Right? Where does a good name come from?
到底好名声是怎么样得来的？
It means that you actually live very authentically and consistently good.
代表你是一直真真诚诚的用一个标准在活的。
And it's not according to the world standard either. It's according to God's standard.
而且你不是按照这个世界的价值，而是按照神的价值而活。
Right? And this is what truly is a good name. Right?
所以这就是一个真真正正的好名声。
Right? We're people of integrity.
一个人有正直的品德。
And in order to develop this type of character, we really need to constantly examine and self-reflect.
为了能够建立起一个这样良好的品格，一个人必须要不断的来反省，来提醒自己。
To see our flaws, to see our hypocrisies.
要发现我们自己的缺点，还有发现我们自己的伪善。
Hopefully, we can also have spiritual friends that can point out our weaknesses or blind spots.
我们甚至希望能够有好的属灵同伴，可以不断的指正出我们这些信仰上的死角。
Right, and so we focus on our inner life, our inner character.
所以我们不断地来反省我们内在的自我。
And this is so much more valuable than any possession, any expensive goods.
这是如此珍贵，比你在世上所拥有的一切都要来得值得珍惜。
We know in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 6, the apostles asked the church to select 7 workers.
我们知道在使徒行传第六章的时候，使徒们要选出七个工人。
And what were the criteria for these workers?
那么这些工人被选出来的条件是什么？
We know one of them actually is that they needed to choose people of good reputation, people with a good name.
我们知道说在圣经上面很清楚的说，其中一个条件就是这个人要有好名声。
Means that this person, when you think of the person, you can trust him. You're willing to follow him. You're willing to follow his guidance.
当你知道这个人，你会很清楚的知道这个人是你愿意相信，你愿意跟从，你愿意听他说的。
So this is very essential within the church organization too.
那么这对一个教会的组织人也是非常重要的。
Right, God doesn't say choose those who are wealthy and highly educated.
主耶稣没有说要我们选一个就是有受良好教育富有的人。
Right, no, God said good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and full of wisdom.
但主耶稣说有好名声，圣灵充满，充满了智慧。
If you have all the goods in the world, but no one respects you, no one likes your name.
如果说你拥有世界上很多东西，但是人家一听到你就不愿意尊敬你。
Is it worth it?
这真的值得吗？
And in the church, can you really be of any influence?
在教会里真的能够带来好的影响吗？
Because respect cannot be bought or forced.
因为一个尊敬的态度是没有办法买来或者是强迫得到的。
So this is the first value judgment we see here.
所以这是一个第一个比较好的一个比较价值我们所看到的。
Okay, let's now go back to Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and read the second half of verse 1.
我们接下来来看传道书第七章第一节的后半节。
Chapter 1, the second half. Verse 1, the second half.
传道书第七章第一节的后半节。
And the day of death than the day of one's birth.
人死的日子胜过人生的日子。
Okay. This is another value judgment.
这是另外一个价值上的判断。
And it's actually tied into the next few verses too, so we should read that too.
那么事实上这个后半节它和后面几个经节是连结在一起，所以我们要继续往下阅读。
Let's read verse 2.
我们请看第二节。
Better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. For that is the end of all men, and the living will take it to heart.
第二节，往糟丧的家去，强如往宴乐的家去。因为死是众人的结局，活人也必将这事放在心上。
Here we see the comparison between the house of mourning and the house of feasting.
我们在这边也可以看到遭上的家和宴乐的家被拿来做比较。
Again, the natural person, when they see these two, if they have a choice, typically people will want to go to the house of feasting.
我们可以知道在一般人在正常情况下当他看到这两个不同的家庭他们都想要往后面那个宴乐的家去。
Right? The house of feasting is referring to like a wedding banquet. It's very attractive.
那么宴乐的家通常就是意指着像是那种有婚宴的家庭。
Right? Everyone's having a good time.
每个人都在那个时候享受一个美好的时光。
Right? There's a lot of drinking and luxurious meals.
我们在那边有很多的饮料，很多很丰盛的食物。
Right, there's a wonderful company. You're probably celebrating something. It's very festive atmosphere.
那么你可能有很多很好的伙伴，然后有非常愉快的气氛，然后在那边庆祝着。
Right. On the other hand, what is the house of mourning like?
但是另外一个家庭遭丧的家又是看起来是怎么样呢？
This is referring to like a funeral or a memorial service.
这可能是一个丧礼或者是告别式。
Right, where someone had just passed away and people are mourning.
我们有一个我们所亲爱的人过世，很多人在那边致哀。
And I think we've all been to these before.
我们相信很多人也参加过这样子 的一些告别。
The atmosphere is a lot more quiet. It's very solemn.
那个气氛是非常的宁静，非常的庄严。
And at nearly at the center is a corpse too.
那么在我们整个会、整个告别式的中心就是那个遗体。
The house of feasting is like very colorful.
那么宴乐的家充满的色彩多彩缤纷。
House of mourning is kind of like black, right?
那么早上的家颜色非常暗沉，大多数是黑色的。
But according to God's wisdom, the house of mourning is better. This is what is good for man.
但是在神的智慧告诉我们，早上的家才是比较好的，才是让我们能够得到智慧的。
So in verse 2,explains why too.
那么第二节同时也解释了为什么。
It says, for that is the end of all men.
因为死亡是所有人的结局。
In other words, when you go to the house of mourning, it is a very sober reminder to all the people who are still alive.
因为你到遭丧的家去，它是一个能够让你清醒的知道每个人的结局的地方。
That one day, it could be even the next moment, we might also be lying there as a corpse.
他提醒了我们，也许在下一个时刻，躺下来的那个人就是我们。
Right. And this is often a good reminder, especially for the young.
那么这其实对特别对年轻的一辈来讲是一个更好的提醒。
Right, when people are young, healthy, they feel like they're invincible.
因为很多人当他年轻，当他健康的时候，他觉得没有什么东西是打得倒他的。
I remember when I was in theological training.
我还记得那个时候我在接受神学训练的时候。
That time I was pretty young, about like 28, 29.
那个时候大概才28岁、29岁。
Right, it was the prime of my life.
那是我们人生中的高峰。
Right, and I accompanied a preacher on a visitation.
那么我陪伴了一位传道人一起做访问的工作。
And we visited a brother, an elderly brother, who was over 80 years old.
那我们去访问一位大概已经八十几岁的老信徒。
And he was bedridden.
那他那个时候已经是卧病在床了。
And I think also needed oxygen tank.
而且甚至需要就是输氧气。
That was actually a big reminder and a wake-up call for me too.
对我个人来讲，它是一个很强烈的一个提醒。
Because it was a very clear moment where I realized in 50 years, that is me. Yeah.
因为在某个时刻，他强烈提醒我，在五十年以后就变成是换我要变成这样了。
Right. Yeah, I guess I never really was thinking about that at that time.
我意识到说我在当时完全没有想到我会有那么一天。
So when you're reminded that this is eventually your end too, chapter 7 verse 2 says, the living will take it to heart.
那么就是像在第七章第二节提醒我们，就是如果你很清楚知道这也是你的结局的时候，你才会把它认真的放在心里头。
Right, and when you take it to heart, you start to reevaluate the way you are living.
当你把这样事放在心上，你才会重新评估你现在是怎么样过你的日子。
Right, we realize that our time is limited. Life is very precious.
我们才会知道说。我们的时间是有限的，我们的人生是短暂的。
So with this limited time that God has given us, how should we be living? How should we live our life more meaningfully?
所以在这有限的生命当中，我们才知道说，我们到底要怎么样活，然后怎么样活的才有真的有意义。
Right, and then we can make some adjustments if needed.
所以我们可以及时来做一些修正。
During my fifth semester of university.
那么在我念大学的第五年。
第五个学期。
第五十个学期，抱歉。
At that time, I had a near perfect grade.
那么有就是得到一个接近满分的成绩。
And so that fifth semester, I was obsessed with keeping it perfect.
那么我在那个学期里面就非常坚持希望我能够维持那个满分的状态。
And I concentrated and spent a lot of time on my classes.
那么我用尽所有心力在我的课堂的课业上。
But unfortunately, I was not getting good grades either.
但是很遗憾是即使用尽心力我还是没有最后拿到我真的想要的成绩。
I was going to get like one class, I almost was like failing.
我甚至有一堂课几乎快要被当了。
So I changed it to a pass-fail course.
然后我就决定把它变成是那种就是会过或不会过那个课程。
And in other classes, I was borderline C or B student.
那我另外一门课的成绩也掉到一个非常不理想的位置。
So I eventually started putting my schoolwork, and I feel like I didn't emphasize my faith as much.
所以我渐渐的才把我的书本放下来，意识到说我好像没有太多时间顾虑在我的信仰上。
So it was until the finals period, December of that semester.
所以一直到那个学期的最后期末的时候。
That's when suddenly we heard some sad news.
然后那个时候我开始听到一些不好的消息。
Which was one of our young church brothers. He was only 14 at that time.He was also my former RE student. He suddenly passed away.
我听到一位14岁的小同龄，他事实上是我宗教教育学生，在那段时间里面他过世了。
And that suddenly gave me a great awakening too.
那个时候，这样的一件事给我非常强烈的一个提醒。
I was thinking about, you know, when I am on my deathbed.
我想到，当我如果是躺在我就是过世的那个床上
，Am I going to be wondering about how I got that B in that course in college?
我会在那个时候还在想我大学的时候考几分吗
？Right? No, not at all.
我想我绝对不会去想这种事情。
Yeah, and I realized I need to reprioritize my life.
所以我才意识到说。我生命中的优先顺序必须要重新做调整。
Right. So truly, when you go to the house of mourning, you take it to heart.
所以当你进到遭丧之家，你会把这样事放在心上。
Related is verse 3. Right?
那么一个相关的经节记载在第七章的第三节。
Right. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 3.
传道书第七章第三节。
Sorrow is better than laughter.
忧愁强如喜笑。
Right, for by a sad countenance, the heart is made better.
因为面带愁容，终必使心喜乐。
Right, this is a very closely related value judgment.
那么我们看到这是一个非常紧密的一个价值判断。
If you really think about your own life and other people's lives,
你会很认真地想比较你自己的生活跟别人的生活。
When do you grow the most? When do you mature the most?
你在什么样状况下你能够成长变成熟
Whether it's emotionally or spiritually.
尤其是在你的情绪上还有在你的灵性上。
Actually, a lot of times we realize it happens when we are sorrowful.
我们发现我们成长最快的时刻事实上是在我们忧虑的时候。
Right. When you're sorrowful, your life kind of slows down.
我们在忧愁的时候我们的速度开始放慢。
We pay attention to certain things.
我们开始会对一些事情开始注意。
It helps us to reflect and we can reevaluate.
它帮助我们重新思想重新衡量我们所做的事情
right. And then we can improve and grow
然后我们可以改进我们因此得到成长
right. So when we combine verses 2 and 3
所以我们如果把第二节和第三节合并起来看
right. When you talk about laughter and the house of feasting
当我们提到喜笑还有宴乐的家
right. Notice that the focus is on the flesh It's on your highs, your emotion there, right?
我们发现这一些陈述大部分都是在我们的肉体上或者是情绪上能够让你得到刺激得到兴奋
Yeah, the focus is on the moment itself, the stimulation、yeah.
然后所得到的刺激是在当下的时候所得到的一些反应
On the other hand, sorrow and the house of mourning the focus shifts more
然后当时我们提到忧愁或者是遭丧之家那个节奏开始 变成是另外一种步调。
Your focus is on your mind, on your spirit.
因为你的注意力会放在你的内心、你的灵魂。
Yes, we may also pay attention to what's happening at that time, but you also start to look towards the future.
是的，你在当下还是会想到你当时的情况，但是你会花更多时间在留意在那之后的事情。
So this is why God tells us in his wisdom, the house of mourning and sorrow is better.
所以这就是神的智慧告诉我们遭丧的家还有忧愁的心是比较好的选择。
And verse 4 just continues to emphasize this.
那么第四节继续在强调这样子的概念。
The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning.
智慧的人心在遭丧之家。
But the heart of fools is in the house of mirth.
愚昧人的心在快乐之家。
Let's now go to another value judgment.
我们接下来再看下一个价值判断。
Let's read verse 5.
我们请看第五节。
Verse 5. It is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools.
听智慧人的责备强如听愚昧人的歌唱。
I think all of us, we enjoy music.
我知道在座的各位应该都很享受音乐的。
And we like songs, we like melody.
我们喜欢各样音乐、歌唱，还有很多的律动。
Right, but this type of song here is said to be the song of fools.
但这边特别强调是愚昧人的歌唱。
What is the song of fools?
什么是愚昧人的歌唱呢？
This is probably related to the previous verses.
这也许是和前一个经节是有关联的。
Right, related to this house of feasting, this house of mirth.
这边提到的就是那个愚昧人的心在快乐之家。
Right. So it's probably like drunken type of singing. Right.
所以我们知道呢，愚昧歌唱可能就像是醉酒的人的歌唱。
Right. And the singing is explained even more in verse 6.
那么这种类型的歌唱在第六节得到更进一步的解释。
Right. Verse 6, for like the crackling of thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of the fool. This also is vanity.
第六节，愚昧人的笑声好像锅下烧荆棘的爆声，这也是虚空。
Meaning that their singing and their laughter, it's more like noise than anything substantial.
那么也就是意味着这些人的歌声跟笑声好像噪音一样，没有任何的实际上的意义。
Right. When you are tending a fire, sometimes the wood, the thorns will crackle, right? Make a popping sound.
那么当你在生火的时候，那些柴在烧到一段时间的时候，它会有那种爆裂的声音。
Usually it's because of moisture.
通常是因为那个木材里面的水汽。
Right. But when it crackles, it makes a loud noise, but it doesn't mean like the fire is going to get bigger or anything.
那个声音虽然说很大，但是它不会让你火更旺。
Right. It's actually, it's empty, it's hollow.
因为它事实上是烧到不是木头的地方，所以它是非常空洞的东西。
Just like the song of fools.
就好像那个愚昧人的歌声。
It's no substance. There's no substance there.
那歌声里面没有带来任何的意义。
It's just pointless merrymaking. Yeah.
就好像是弄出一些会让你想要笑的声音，但是笑声本身没有任何的意义。
But...On the surface, it's very attractive too. Like everyone is singing, people are happy and cheerful.
表面上看起来好像很吸引人，就是大家好像很快乐，然后大家都唱歌，好像很欢乐的样子。
I remember one time I was traveling.
记得有一次呢，在旅行的时候。
And it was the World Cup.
那是世界杯的时候。
And I was watching one of the games with some Brazilians who were next to me.
那么我就是和一群巴西来的朋友们一起来观看那个球赛。
And they were watching the Brazilian team on the TV.
他们在电视上面来支持他们祖国巴西队。
Yeah, and they were so loud, right? They were so excited for their team.
他们对他们球队是如此兴奋，所以他们就很大声。
Yeah, I kind of think it's kind of related, yeah.
那他们的反应让我想到就是传道书这段经节。
Sometimes it's kind of the song of fools.
就是像是那种愚昧人 的歌声一样。
It's attractive though. I mean, it's really exciting.
但是非常渲染，它是因为那是带来一个非常兴奋的那种气氛。
But on the other hand, rebuke, I think we all know it's not pleasant.
但是另外一方面来想，责备光是看字面知道不是一个 很讨喜的。
Sometimes rebuke can be quite harsh.
有的时候被指责的时候，那其实是很痛的事情。
Right, and this person is pointing out to you something that you did wrong and need to correct.
有一个人指责你的错误，然后希望你能够改正。
And no one really likes that either.
没有人喜欢接受这样子的东西。
But in God's eyes, in God's wisdom,
但是在神的眼中，在神的智慧里，
this is better, and this is what is good for man.
这是比较好的，而且这是对人比较好的。
Okay. And why is that?
为什么会这样呢？
This is very similar to what we were talking about previously.
这个跟我们之前所提到的东西其实非常类似。
Right? When people rebuke us, definitely, if we take it with wisdom, right, it will help us to pause.
那么，如果我们愿意用智慧的心接受别人对我们的指责，它会让我们停顿下来。
Right. you listen to what they're saying and you evaluate, is what they're saying true?
你会停下来慢慢的思想他们所指责中心是真的吗？
Right, have I been going in a wrong direction? Have I been doing something wrong?
我是真的做错而且走到一个这样错误的方向吗？
Right, this is wisdom to reflect.
这是一个智慧让我们来省思。
Right, so the rebuke kind of gives us a shock.
那么责备本身带给我们一种震撼。
Right, yeah. And sometimes we really need this type of rebuke.
那么有的时候我们的确很需要接受这样子的一种指责。
Right, especially if this person is wise and has godly values.
那么尤其这个人是带着智慧而且有神的价值。
Right, because then we will also readjust our life and then be able to mature and grow again. Right?
这样子我们才能够在我们的生命中重新调整能够过着更有价值的人生。
Right. So we do see in the Bible that many of the workers of God, they also would sometimes rebuke the churches. Right?
我们可以看到在圣经里面有很多圣教会的工人会去指责教会。
And today, the same thing with God's workers.
那同样在今天我们有很多这样神的工人。
If there are things that need to be changed, God's workers may be more harsh and rebuke.
有的时候当他们发现教会有些事情必须要改变的时候他们的言语也许比较严厉。
And so let's not be rebellious to this. Huh?
但是我们不要为了这样子的话来反叛。
And let's not take it the wrong way.
我们不要把这样的话把它用就是一种错误的方法来解读。
Because the rebuke of the wise, it will come from love.
因为一个智慧人 的责备它是出于爱心的。
Right, let's also turn to Revelation chapter 3.
我们一起来看启示录第三章。
Revelation chapter 3 verse 19.
启示录第三章第十九节。
Verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent.
启示录第三章第十九节，凡我所疼爱的我就责备管教他，所以你要发热心，也要悔改。
With many of these letters to the seven churches in Asia Minor, Jesus had things to rebuke.
所以主耶稣在启示录中借着书信去责备七个在小亚细亚地区的教会。
Right, five of them were rebuked.
那五个教会被主耶稣直接的。
Why did Jesus rebuke them?
但是主耶稣为什么要指责这些教会？
Jesus said it's because he loves the church.
因为主耶稣说他爱这些教会。
He wants the church to improve and be better.
他希望这些教会能够改善，能够变得更好。
He wants the church members to fully enter into salvation, into eternal life.
他希望这些教会信徒能够完完全全的进到永生，能够得救。
He doesn't want any to be disqualified.
他不希望任何一位信徒沉沦。
Right. So that's why he sometimes had to rebuke.
所以有的时候主耶稣必须责备。
So, same thing for us today.
那这也对我们现在的我们来讲也是一样的。
Especially for our younger members, children.
尤其对我们比较年轻一辈的同龄们。
Right. Our parents may often rebuke us.
有的时候爸爸妈妈常常会骂你们。
But remember, it's coming from a place of love.
但是要知道爸爸妈妈骂你是因为爱你。
Learn to enjoy the sound of rebuke.
所以请试着去享受那个骂你的声音。
Right. It's not easy at first.
我们知道这不是一件容易的事情。
But when you really think through what they're trying to tell us, we can see the wisdom, we can see what God is...why God says this is better for us.
但是当你安静下来好好想一想，你会听到神的智慧，神要用什么样的声音来告诉你怎么样改变。
Okay. Let's now go to one final value judgment.
我们再进到最后一样的价值判断。
Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 8.
我们请看传道书第七章第八节。
Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 8.
传道书第七章第八节。
The end of a thing is better than its beginning. The patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit.
第八节，事情的终局强如事情的起头，存心忍耐的胜过居心骄傲的。
Okay. Now this verse actually is part of a little bit of a larger section, right, from verses 7 through 10.
那么事实上这一节是在一个比较大的一个段落，从第七节到第十节。
Verse 7 through 10 identify certain dangers or threats to gaining wisdom.
那么第七节到第十节指出智慧可能所要面临到的一些威胁。
Right, if you fall into these pitfalls, you're not going to be able to gain wisdom.
如果你掉进这样的陷阱里面，你可能就得不到智慧了。
So verse 7 is emphasizing how oppression, bribery, corruption, it's going to prevent you from gaining wisdom.
所以第七节提到说勒索、贿赂如何能够让一个人没有办法得到智慧而被败坏。
Right, verse, if we jump to ahead to verse 9.
如果我们接着看第九节。
Right, a quick temper, anger, and bitterness, this will also prevent you from gaining wisdom.
那个急躁还有恼怒也会阻止你成为一个有智慧的人。
Right. Looking ahead to verse 10.
再来看第十节。
Right, nostalgia, just always focusing on the past, that's also going to hinder your advancement in wisdom.
那个一个早是在想自己过去有多好的人，也会阻碍你来看你往后面看，来得到将来的智慧。
So when we go back to verse 8,
所以当我们回到第八节，
what is this talking about?
到底第八节要告诉我们什么？
The focus here is talking about impatience.
在这边所要提到的是没有耐心的事情。
Right? When you are impatient, then you're not able to gain wisdom.
如果我们没有耐心，就得不着智慧。
So God tells us through Solomon, the end of a thing is better than its beginning.
所以神借着所罗门来告诉我们，事情的结局比起点来的重要。
I think we all know the beginning of something is always very attractive.
我们知道说一件事的起头总是比较吸引人的。
Because it's new, it's exciting, it's fresh.
因为一切都是新的，然后非常刺激，非常新鲜的。
Right. Recently, Preacher Huang and I, we switch assignments. Right.
那么我们最近呢，就是黄传道跟我呢，就是交换的就是教会的职务。
This is a beginning of a new assignment. It's exciting.
这是刚开始调动的状态，所以这充满了一个兴奋的状态。
Meeting new members, learning and trying to face new, different challenges. Right.
那么要来和新的弟兄姐妹 来接触，然后来 接受不一样新的一些环境和挑战。
But when you start something, you have to be able to endure to the end.
但是当你开始一件事情，你要坚持忍耐下去。
Right, that's why the end is better. If you have gotten to the end, then that's going to be better than the beginning.
所以为什么终点很重要？因为代表你愿意忍到终点，所以你的终点才是能够看到真正意义的所在。
If you just look at the end individually, it's not as attractive.
如果你一个一个只看终点的部分，你可能觉得它不是那么的吸引人。
Because that means whatever, yeah, it's just there's a finality to it. Something's ending.
因为它是一个结局，所以它就是过去就结束了。
But this verse, whether it's talking about the end being better or the patient over the proud, is just encouraging us to endure, to persevere.
但是这边强调看到终点，然后不要骄傲，都是要告诉我们要能够在这个过程中能够忍耐直到最后。
And that is a true accomplishment.
那么能够忍到最后是一个很真实的一个成就。
And in the process, then we're also able to gain more insight and wisdom.
那么在这个坚持的过程中，我们可以体验到更多，然后能够得到智慧。
On the other hand, if you start something, but you don't go to the end, you're not going to gain any wisdom. Yeah.
换这个方向来讲，你老是开始一些东西， 但是没有办法坚持到底，你就没有办法在这过程当中得到任何的机会。
And it's not beautiful in God's eyes.
在神的眼中，这也不美好。
Right. So for anything in life,
所以在这个人生当中的任何一件事情
，you must have patience and perseverance.
我们都要能够有耐心的坚持到底。
Right. Think about it. Think about relationships.
我们来想想我们 的一些人际的关系。
Right. The beginning of your romantic relationship, of course, it's very attractive, right?
想想看，在你恋爱的刚开始，一切都是如此美好。
Right. It's so exciting to get to know somebody,
yeah.
who might be interested in you, right?
说认识一个对你有兴趣的人是如此让你兴奋的一件事情。
But what would you rather have?
但是你会情愿有拥有什么
？A 75-year full marriage， right？
你会想要拥有一个75年的婚姻生活吗
？Right， or 3-month flash in the pan， right？
还是那个三个月的热恋
？Right， the end of a thing is better than the beginning。
这个事情的终局会强如事情的起头。
Persevere in it, and through it, the ups and downs, you gain insight, you gain wisdom, you mature. Right?
在这个过程当中的起起伏伏当中，你能够坚持，你就有所获得，你就能得到智慧。
So thank God we can look through some of these wisdom and value judgments that God has given us.
感谢神，我们今天有机会来看。就是神所赏赐给我们这些智慧，还有这些价值的判断。
Right. Sometimes it's counterintuitive.
有的时候跟我们的直觉是相反的。
But truly, it is better for us. It is good for man.
但是非常真实的，这也是真的对我们比较好的。
Okay. This concludes our evening message. We're going to now conclude with the prayer.
那我们要结束今天晚上聚会，要以祷告来作为我们的结束。
Kneel down and pray together.
我们一起同心跪下来祷告。